Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 16th, 2018. The South Sudan peace negotiations ends in Addis Ababa without an agreement.
Today, we shall suspend phase two of the forum. But before we do so, I would like to take this opportunity to sincerely congratulate all of you for your patience and dedication to the revitalization process.
And some residents in Juba Town say they are eagerly waiting for lasting peace in their country. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Intergovernmental Authority on Development has adjourned the South Sudan peace talks in Addis Ababa to a later date. The high-level revitalization forum ended without any agreement on the outstanding issues blocking the road to peace in South Sudan. IGAD Special Envoy to South Sudan, Ismail Weiss, told South Sudanese delegates gathered in Addis Ababa that his office will call the warring parties to continue negotiations at a later date.
Today, we shall suspend phase two of the forum. But before we do so, I would like to take this opportunity to sincerely congratulate all of you for your patience and dedication to the revitalization process.
While he says the postponement of the talks does not mean the negotiations collapsed, he praised the parties for discussing the issues blocking peace in South Sudan.
The suspension of this phase of the forum does not in any way imply that we have concluded the revitalization process. Rather, it will provide you all with the opportunity to take some rest, recuperate, and reflect on pending crucial issues for the success of the forum as you await its next phase.
It is not clear why the talks were adjourned. The warring parties have been meeting since February 5th to revive the collapsed 2015 peace deal. Nine opposition parties at the talks issued a statement this past hour expressing what they call lack of political will by the South Sudan government delegation to the talks. The opposition groups say the government is not addressing the core issues blocking the road to peace in South Sudan. We now go live to Kwaje Lasu, member of the South Sudan National Movement for Change, to understand the reasons behind IGAD's decision to adjourn the talks. Kwaje, thanks for speaking to us. Can you tell us what happened at the negotiations in Addis Ababa today?
First of all, thank you, Mr. Tanzer. I will be very delighted to be in your show. Unfortunately, I'm so disappointed collectively on behalf of the nine opposition. When we came to Addis Ababa with an open mind and open good faith to negotiate a peace agreement, unfortunately, we fall short to deliver to our people. However, we are very hopeful we will deliver in the nearest future.
And when you say we, who are you talking about here? Are you talking about yourself or you're talking about who? We stands for who?
We are speaking on behalf of nine opposition groups that have been working together from day one collaboratively in unison, addressing the issues that brought the country back to its knees since 2013, as well as what had happened in 2016.
And when I look at your statement today, you are blaming the government and saying that the government have no political will for addressing the core issues that brought conflict in South Sudan. Why are you blaming the government?
Absolutely. This is a twofold blame, if you will. First, when we negotiated a declaration of principles, the government of South Sudan refused to sign the declaration of principles. We do believe the declaration of principles are the guiding roadmap for the negotiation of these peace talks. Unfortunately, the government of South Sudan refused to sign that document simply because the document, one of the clause, Article 28, stating that any spoilers to the peace negotiation should be punished or punitive measures should be applied by the African Union. That's one thing. Secondly, we came here to address the core issue that befalling our country. However, the government of South Sudan came in with intention of accommodation into the government, absorbing all the opposition, We are not here. This is not our primary objective. We're here to address the core issue that brought the country back to its knee moving forward.
Yeah, but I have been following the talks, and you, the opposition, boycotted a meeting where you were supposed to discuss power sharing. I mean, how else would you end this conflict in South Sudan if you are not seeing each other eye to eye on some of the issues?
Let me correct you. We did not boycott the peace talks. We presented our principles, guiding
you principles. You did not attend a meeting where you were supposed to discuss power sharing. The opposition opted not to attend the meeting. Why?
Absolutely. That is not correct. We are in the room throughout the process. However, we sustain participation simply because we would like to address the guiding principles that brought the country to its knee, first and foremost.
And what are these guiding principles?
Our guiding principle is simple. First and foremost, we would like to see our country, the state of emergency shall be lifted upon signing of this agreement. We would like to see the country shall adopt a federal system of governance during the transitional period through effective division of powers and resources between the federal, state, and local government. Other aspects of federalism that require detailed study shall be tackled by the National Constitution Conference.
I mean, someone listening to us.
Among others.
Yeah, quite yes.
The principles we would like to see discussed before we delve into the power sharing.
Yeah.
Power sharing was there initially in the Arcus. Power sharing did not bring the country to its knee, first and foremost.
Yes, Kwaje, someone who is listening to us here would easily conclude that you are bogged down in blaming each other rather than finding a solution to this conflict. People are suffering in South Sudan, and you're all blaming each other.
Indeed, I plead with my people in South Sudan. However, we don't want to go to South Sudan, sign a peace agreement, as had happened with Arcus in 2015, with a lot of loopholes, giving the government of South Sudan a lot of leverage and a lot of leeway that destroy or let the obligation of the agreement. Therefore, we would like to cross the T's and dot our I's before we go to the final peace agreement.
And when are you going? When are you going to agree?
When are you people of South Sudan need a line?
When are you going to agree to live together? Because this is taking 4 years for you to agree to talk. When are you going to agree to live together?
I hope our brothers in Juba should put the people of South Sudan before their political interests. We in the opposition would like to bring the people of South Sudan in the forefront. To give them the freedom, to give them the peace, to give them security, the tranquility that they needed. They're living in a refugee camp. They're living in the IDPs within the country. People are suffering. Economy is in a tatter. How can the government be saying that everything is good while the people of South Sudan are suffering? We wanted the government to acknowledge that. We want the government to know that we, as opposition, we will not stop advocating for the people of South Sudan.
That's Kwaje Lasu, member of the South Sudan National Movement for Change. He's also speaking on behalf of 9 opposition parties gathered in Addis Ababa. He was speaking to us live from a line in Ethiopia. Despite today's grim development, some South Sudanese say they expect the delegates in Addis Ababa to reach a deal and restore peace in the country once and for all. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Juba.
Mama Harriet Baka is head of the Mothers' Union in the Episcopal Church of South Sudan. She says the warring parties meeting in Addis Ababa should focus on restoring peace rather than power sharing and who gets what position in a transitional government.
They should come with a package of peace in their hands, and that one will be our joy, where women can yield, and then we can forget the past, we can forget the rapes that have been done to the women, we can even forget the hunger or the challenges that we are going through if they have the package of the peace.
Baka says many of the leaders in the previous and current administrations will return to government, but says those leaders should repent and acknowledge their past mistakes before assuming any new positions.
It might not be the positions that may be millions or thousands, but it's your heart. It's a good governance for your people, your heart for your people. your love for your country, your sorrows for the people that who died and are still dying. So if you don't have that commitment or you don't have love for your people, even if you are given that position, which to me it looks as if it's just like recycling.
The bishop of Anzara Diocese in Tombra State says if the parties reach an agreement, he expects them to form a lean government. Bishop Samuel Enosapeni says the country can do with far less ministers.
If we have the system is in place and the system can deliver, it is much better than having even putting those presidents there and then for them even to, you know, you have to accommodate them. They have to have bodyguards, they have to have all these other things that are required for those names to be used. You know, that makes it too large.
Vice President James Wani Iga told reporters during a visit to Juba Teaching Hospital today the government has instructed its delegates to reach a peace deal, but acknowledged that there are challenges ahead.
But this power, if it is to be taken by boxing and kicking, it will not make a good country. We Junubin must learn the modern ways of getting power, democratically. But anyway, we are engaging with them. In Addis Ababa, determined as we are, and the delegates, when they were going, they left on Saturday, on Sunday, but the Saturday before, we had the meeting shared by the president, and the president told them never to come back without peace in your hands.
Iga says the country's economic crisis will end if the warring parties achieve peace.
Most of these difficulties will definitely come to an end when we get peace, because in the beginning, before the conflict, these economic difficulties were not really there as they are today. So as soon as we get peace, then our people again will have a very wide breathing space.
He declined to comment on a proposal by IGAD mediators for South Sudan to have four vice presidents during the transitional government of national unity. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Two communities from Bor South County in Jonglei State have signed a peace agreement to end deadly conflict over grazing land that has claimed 37 lives in the past 2 months. The deputy governor of Jonglei State says the two communities agreed to create a buffer zone so that security forces can be deployed to keep the two clans apart. We get details from Deng Gai Deng on this story from Bor.
The agreement signed on Tuesday followed talks mediated by Jonglei State officials and South Sudan Defense Minister Kwalma Nyangjuk. Under the deal, the Nyara and Bion communities agreed to resolve their land disputes through peaceful means, including a court of law. Agod Alier is the Jonglei State Deputy Governor.
The main message that was conveyed to him by His Excellency, the National Minister of Defense, and His Excellency, the Governor of Jonglei State, the whole message was about peace. That peace has to return to that area as quick as possible.
15 people were killed and scores of others injured last week when fighting flared up between the pastoralists over a grazing land. Deputy Governor Alier says the agreement requires both communities to vacate the contested area so the government can deploy security forces to the area to keep the peace.
One community has to move farther southward and the other community move farther northward, okay? Two areas were mainly specified, or three areas. One area is an area of DDR, adjacent to Pariang, okay? That one group, that is Biong and Manyayelas, to move to that side. And the other party, that's Nyara, has to move to the area of Jam to give room to the government forces to maintain peace and security among these communities so that no recurring or no going back to the conflict again, that may cost more lives.
Berepach is a Nyara community leader who signed on behalf of his community. He's speaking in his native Dinka language by phone. Pach says his community has started to vacate the disputed area.
We have started to vacate the area, but we have not yet moved our property and personal effects. There are challenges, of course, because relocating families need some preparation. Our community is obeying the agreement and will be waiting to hear from government what should happen next.
Ngoregareng signed on behalf of the Biong community. He's speaking in his native Dinka language by phone from the disputed area. Garang says his community is ready to end the dispute.
As a leader of Biong community, we have agreed to implement the agreement, and that was what I told Jonglei State Governor Philip Aguero and Defense Minister Kwal during the meeting. As a result, we have released 9 of Nyara people whom we captured during the fighting. We want peace, and we are committed to implementing what we have signed.
Under the agreement, a state official will select one community at a time to temporarily come and graze in the disputed area, which is comprised of Malual, Loguli, Akut, and Wunruar cattle camps. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng reporting from Bor.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at child soldiers in Yambio. That story is coming up after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
tell me about something beautiful that moved you recently.
A cousin of mine gave birth after a long period of trying to have a baby. It took them about 6 years to have their first baby.
The most beautiful thing that moves me recently is the roads and also the lights and also the happiness of my family.
Oh yeah, I have a lot, but what I can say is education. I've just pursued my degree, and it's really doing me well because I've already got a job that can help me and then improve my life.
Something that moved me recently is that I was given a responsibility to head a big project, first of its kind in my life. So it's something that was great.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Last week, hundreds of children were released in Yambio, but as INBO reports, the hard work of providing trauma counseling, health services, and reuniting the children with their parents is just beginning.
Over 300 children were freed last week. Among them were 6 babies ranging from 4 months to a year and a half, born to young girls who were among the child soldiers.
Some of them were what they call the wives of the commanders, and these are very young adolescent girls. And so I'm sure they were coalesced into becoming a partner, a sex partner with the commanders. Some of them, of course, became pregnant, and they delivered in the bush and delivered beautiful young babies. There were 6 there that were just absolutely gorgeous. And so once again, that these children are growing up with a teenage mom and without a father. And so, again, quite a challenge.
That's Bruce Wilkinson, President and CEO of Catholic Medical Mission Board, or CMMB, who helped register the children. Wilkinson says they are also providing counseling and health services to the freed children.
And they're all getting a health screening, complete health screening. So everything to look at their overall health, everything from sort of infectious disease, sexually transmitted diseases, to just their overall well-being, nutritional status. That's being done very well, and it's ongoing. They're getting psychosocial support. As I said, they're actually playing with other children, very sort of what I call structured, but with very, doesn't appear to the children to be structured. They're getting some deep counseling services, lining up people as they open up to be able to speak with them. And they're also getting some vocational skills. And now they're in the phase where they're going to be 3 months looking at what they call psychosocial support here. It really goes from sort of what I call in-depth counseling, play therapy, enjoying each other and feeling secure again. And then as they feel more secure, they start to express their emotions. They start to talk about what went on in their lives there. They're very reticent right now to begin deep dialogues on what really happened to them.
CMMB and its partners renovated a child transit center at the Ministry of Education, Gender and Social Welfare that will host up to 70 girls who will be released from the armed forces. It took about 6 months and a lot of negotiations between armed groups, local church leaders, and local government officials to gain the release of the children. Wilkinson says an important stakeholder was the church, who at many times encouraged soldiers and government officials to focus on the children's welfare. Wilkinson says Bishop Eduardo Hiboro was particularly instrumental, making sure the children were released.
And now that these children have been brought out, we have a long way to go. First of all, we would like to help these children accept themselves, know that they are important, and know that they are great, and that they have a greater future.
Now in a stable and safe environment, Wilkinson says one can already see a change in the demeanor of the children.
They're playing games, they're jumping ropes. There was a group of young ladies who probably were 15 years old, 16 years old, just playing cards with each other and laughing and hugging each other. It was a beautiful scene to see that these children are now in a place where they're starting to respond to normalcy and to feel secure again.
While the work to free the children was strenuous, Bishop Hiboro says the hard work is just beginning.
Together with their parents, we will have to continue to follow up these children and the others, and not isolate them from the other groups, but to make them feel right there in the midst of the community. That is loving and that's caring.
CMMB says about 700 former child soldiers have been screened and registered for demobilization and will be released in phases. Ayan Dengbuer, VOA News, Washington.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. UN and Ministry of Education officials in South Sudan say they are working to reopen dozens of schools in Kapoita State that have remained closed for 2 years because of insecurity and the ongoing economic crisis. The officials launched a Back to Learning campaign this week to make that happen. Nabil Biagio attended the launch ceremony in Kapoita and has this report for VOA from Juba.
Hundreds of children chanted songs about the importance of education at the Freedom Square in Kapoita during the Back to Learning campaign yesterday. 80% of Kapoita's children are not going to school after dozens of teachers stopped teaching either because they had not been paid in several months or because of rampant insecurity. Lawrence Finanger, head of cooperation at the Norwegian Embassy in Juba, said at the event that South Sudan contributes to the 65 million children worldwide who are missing out on education due to conflict.
The country is the home to the highest number of out-of-school children in the world. The Back to Learning program is a vital part of the efforts of alleviating the needs, education needs, and building hope for children in a country that has been ridden by war and conflict for many years.
Undersecretary at South Sudan's Ministry of General Education and Instruction, Michael Lopuke Lotiam, says the Back to Learning campaign was created soon after the conflict erupted in 2013, which disrupted hundreds of schools across the country.
Within weeks of the conflict, more than 4 states were directly affected, and thousands of the children in those states could not have access to learning.
South Sudan's Minister of General Education and Instruction, Deng Deng Hodge, says his ministry carried out an assessment which showed that schools in the former Eastern Equatoria state, especially Kapoita state, are the worst affected by the ongoing conflict.
The majority of the children who are out of school in the former Eastern Equatoria state are from the Tafosa community. This is why we are bringing the campaign to the Tafosa community to convey the message to them that it is very important for Tafosa to do something about education.
Hodge says His ministry has secured enough funding to reopen dozens of schools in the state this year.
The issue of teachers, we will work with the state to recruit teachers from other states to come to Kapoita and teach here. The salaries are already there. We have talked to the European Union. They have accepted to allocate 26 million euros for topping up of salaries of primary school teachers. We will also work with the state and World Food Program to provide food for the schools in the state here, so that they can at least have one meal a day.
The funding will help pay for the rehabilitation of schools, teacher salaries and incentives, as well as financial support for school children. Mahimbo Mdoi, the country representative of the UN Children's Agency UNICEF, says the Back to Learning campaign has helped 680,000 children return to school over the past 4 years.
UNICEF has helped to organize mass Back to Learning campaigns, which allow UNICEF to support the government in the longer term in resuming quality education activities, rehabilitating school and infrastructure, and developing accelerated and adapted learning strategies for children missing on school.
Kapoita State's Minister of Education, Cyprian Peter, says besides insecurity and the economic crisis, local cultural practices also discourage girls from attending school. He says his office will be working hard to reopen all 95 schools in the state and make sure all children, including girls, enroll.
We are actually starting in, we are put even in our policies that we are going to mobilize and to campaign for the school children to be brought to school.
Peter says part of the donor funding will be used to construct new schools and to start literacy classes for adults who cannot read or write. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song The Best by Dr. Sid.
She wants the man, we go do I'm good. She says she wants the kind of man, no, we go do I'm better. I hear you want the man, we go come impress. They say you request the kind of guy, we go give you the best, to you, the best, to you, the best, to you.
We have been listening to Dr. Sid with the song The Best. Although the news from Addis Ababa is not encouraging, but let's hope for the best. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. What do you think about this show? Let us know. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com. You can also get us on Facebook. Our Facebook name is South Sudan in Focus. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. You must, yeah, you must, yeah,